My guest at this time is former United States Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now a senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute. He joins me now to offer his evaluation of what is exactly going on in Egypt, as well as the Obama administration's reaction to it. And, sir, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be with you again.
Well, we obviously saw the swelling protest, the 48-hour ultimatum, and then the day before the 4th of July, we saw the military essentially remove Mohamed Morsi from power. You certainly had not been any great fan of Morsi or the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power, their push in very short fashion for a new constitution and so forth. So is this ultimately a good thing for the United States, or is it a wait-and-see operation until we see what happens in these elections?
Well, I think it's a good thing, although obviously the violence we've seen, the deaths in the past few days are very tragic. But the fact is, I think the military did not have much of an option. We saw in the days before it issued the ultimatum to Morsi, really to all the sides in Egypt, millions of Egyptians demonstrating in the streets against the Muslim Brotherhood with every prospect that that the pro-Muslim Brotherhood supporters and the anti-Muslim Brotherhood advocates would end up fighting in the streets. And I think the military, which prizes order and stability, didn't want to let that happen. The issue, I think, for Americans is what is our basic national interest here? And I think we do have an interest in a stable Egyptian government that can uphold the Camp David peace accords with Israel, keep the Suez Canal open, and ensure some measure of order in Egypt so that religious minorities like the Coptic Christians are not trampled. And to get the Egyptian economy back on its feet obviously requires order as well. So it's an imperfect world, but I think on balance there's little doubt that the United States should support the military and press for it to restore order, but also to try once again to transition to representative government.
Mr. Ambassador, we've certainly seen some calls among those who are defending Mohamed Morsi. I don't know that he has said it himself, that they want an armed resistance now against the military for making this move. Do you suspect that that will actually happen?
Well, the Brotherhood, I think, is probably itself somewhat divided and perhaps split. I think some have become more radicalized. Some wanted this confrontation to begin with. I think the attack that produced over 50 dead at the start of the week was provoked by the Brotherhood because they wanted to create martyrs to their cause. That's in their way of thinking, not in America's way of thinking, but for their way of thinking, that's the best way to proceed. And there were plenty of people in the military who were happy to accommodate them. The military's cracked down on the Brotherhood many times before. So the issue for the United States is if you can't have democracy like we practice it in Iowa and New Hampshire, what can you do to try to emphasize that we want the political factions in Egypt to resolve their differences peacefully? And I think while you wouldn't normally think of the military as the guarantor of the civil liberties, in effect in Egypt it's the only institution that has enough popular support and stability to try to recreate conditions where some progress is possible.
Sir, do you get a sense that there's a best-case scenario in the upcoming election? Is there a viable party that would lead in a way that would perhaps lead Egypt out of its corruption and economic mess and be about as favorable as we could hope for towards the United States?
Well, you know, the military interim president that they installed called right after the riots and the killings on Monday for a very expedited schedule of a parliamentary referendum, a constitutional referendum, and then parliamentary elections followed by presidential elections. I mean, I could make the argument that it would be better to wait for a longer period of time, because after Mubarak was overthrown in 2011, they went to elections relatively quickly, which benefited the Muslim Brotherhood, which was the best organized political force in the country. Now, the Brotherhood, obviously, as we just discussed, is going to be split as a result of being overthrown. But there's an argument for waiting longer. It may be that the military just felt that they couldn't guarantee stability for much longer. So one way or the other, because it's not an ideal situation, It looks like they will try to have a referendum on a new constitution or an amended constitution, and that's going to come fairly quickly.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And, sir, as you well know, there's been a lot of reaction to the Obama administration's lack of public comment, for the most part, on this. There was criticism of the president golfing, Secretary Kerry on his boat, as the coup, if we want to call it that, was unfolding. Some say that the president could have done more in one way or the other. His basic point is that things are going to unfold in Egypt the way they're going to unfold, and there's not a lot America can do to dictate the outcome. What do you think he should have been doing, and what's your assessment of how he's handled it in the last few days?
Well, I think he's handled it badly in the last few days, but I think as well he's handled it badly for the last 2.5 years. I mean, it's been one mistake after another. So by the time you get to evaluating how we have done in the past week, you have to view it against a long, long period of mishandling before that. But it is true, we do not have unlimited influence in Egypt. We can't snap our fingers and have it turn out the way we want. But saying we don't have unlimited influence is not the same thing as saying we have no influence. And there, I think the absence of clear American leadership has cost us a great deal. That's not the same thing as a series of endless public statements. But not only have we not had public statements by the president or the secretary of state, we haven't had much behind-the-scenes activity either. And I think that leaves people very uncertain about what is to come next. And it gives some support to the Muslim Brotherhood and the idea that if they just tough it out long enough, they might yet end up back in power.
Mr. Ambassador, one other thing we saw this week, at least in the White House briefing room, is the White House not saying whether or not they thought this was a coup. Most folks seem to think that when the military deposes a leader, that in fact is a coup. But of course, if in fact that is officially what happened, then U.S. foreign aid is suspended. So what do you make of the White House uncertainty on that? And if in fact this was a coup, which most people think it was, how should we approach the foreign aid issue?
Yeah, of course it was a coup. You know, I don't think any of us gain anything by trying to obscure what actually happened. And I think the way you deal with the prohibition on foreign assistance in the statute is to go to Congress directly and say, we need to fix this. We need to make it absolutely clear that it's in America's national interest that we find a way to support the interim government and the military. And yet the Obama administration takes what seems to be its preferred route of twisting the meaning of a statute all out of any proportion to what the words of the statute actually say. And that doesn't benefit the United States government. It doesn't benefit, frankly, trust and credibility in the president.
Last question, sir, before we let you go. This is obviously the fall of what most people considered a more radical-type leadership in Egypt. Does this have any sort of bearing on the political dynamics in other nations in the region? We obviously see a civil war going on in Syria. We would consider Iran to have a more radical than secular government, obviously, and some other nations in that region. So will this have any sort of ripple effect?
I think it will have a ripple effect. I think the struggle between the radical Islamicists, who are often allied with terrorists, and other forces that want a secular democratic government in many Middle Eastern countries are going to watch what happens in Egypt very carefully. This is much more important than Syria. Egypt has a population of 70 to 80 million people, far, far and away the biggest Arab country. So what happens there makes a huge difference. And so, too, does what the role of the United States is have a ripple effect around the region as well. So it's troubling that the United States is absent, not just because of its impact in Egypt, but because of its impact across the region.
I'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time, as always.
Well, thanks again for having me.
John Bolton is a former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. He is now a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.